and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's cabinet will vote tomorrow on whether to approve the ceasefire deal with Hamas. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has been trying to smooth out any remaining wrinkles.
We've delivered concrete progress and we've laid a foundation for success, which we will hand over to the incoming administration.
California's governor has issued an executive order expediting the creation of temporary housing for wildfire victims. State Attorney General Rob Bonta says the order extends the ban on price gouging for hotels and rental housing.
Price gouging is a crime, plain and simple. It is unlawful. It is punishable by a year in prison, by a $10,000 criminal fine.
Rudy Giuliani has reached a settlement with the two former Georgia election workers who won a $148 million defamation judgment against him. At issue was ownership of his Florida condo and three World Series rings. Terms of the settlement were not disclosed. The trial over that issue was set to start today before that settlement was reached. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Milwaukee Brewers Hall of Fame radio broadcaster Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. The team announced his passing this morning. Uecker has been the team's primary radio broadcaster since 1971. The Milwaukee native is a member of several Hall of Fames, including the National Baseball Hall of Fame, which he was inducted into in 2003. On Tuesday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case that would potentially alter the Department of Natural Resources' ability to enforce the state's spills law and challenge the DNR's classification of what chemicals are considered hazardous substances. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
The lawsuit was filed by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce in 2021 and argues that the DNR has not provided sufficient guidance on how it categorizes PFAS contaminants. A circuit court judge and a conservative-leaning court of appeals ruled in favor of the WMC. The state appealed that decision, stating that as this is an evolving issue and the DNR's guidance should be qualified as rulemaking. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will revisit the case today and will consider what authority the DNR should have in its rulemaking process as a state agency. Based on how the court rules in that case, it would expand Governor Tony Evers' rulemaking authority or maintain one committee's ability to strike down rules established by state agencies.
The Department of Transportation declares that all state highways are officially frozen, and the frozen road law will expand to include the entire state. The frozen road law allows heavier loads for trucks carrying logs and sand and salt for winter maintenance while cold weather allows. Wisconsin DOT and county highway personnel monitor temperature forecasts along with frost tubes, liquid-filled devices under pavement to help determine when roads are adequately frozen to accommodate heavier loads. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home against the Orlando Magic. Milwaukee with another hot start, scoring 19 points in the first quarter on the way to a 122-93 win over the Magic. The Bucks have now won four of their last five. Damian Lillard led with 30 points.
Just over this last five or six games, I think we've definitely been putting the type of efforts together that we need to, regardless if it's home or on the road. You know, we're starting to feel what it's like when we do what we're supposed to do.
The Bucks host the Raptors tomorrow night at 7. NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur will have to hire a new quarterback's coach. At age 71, Tom Clements has decided to retire after 14 seasons overall in Green Bay.
Man, it's been a cool ride with him for the last 3 years. He's incredibly consistent. What a great man, great mind. Obviously, he's had the opportunity to coach some of the best. I mean, when you talk about Favre, Rodgers, and then the development of Jordan Love. I mean, that's pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and mild today, with high temperatures flirting with the freezing mark in the low 30s. But we're battling breezy winds out of the northwest, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. And they'll switch to out of the south tonight, warming us up even more for tomorrow. Highs will be in the mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brooks!
Gostisinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday is the last workday before the Trump administration takes office. We'll ask our Friday Week in Review panel if the nation is ready for what's next.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Everybody, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As I am joined every Thursday, I've got a fantastic co-host with me and you for all of these 2 hours that we've got together. His name's Tom Paulswitz, all-around fabulous guy, very reasonable political viewpoints, two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, Navy vet. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Good to be here. Happy Thursday.
Tom, did you know I was going to ask you to sing on the radio with me today? Did you know
about boy. That? I did not know that.
All right. Follow my lead, friend. Okay.
Right. We'll do it.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Cardi.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Cardi, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Cardi,
thank
you didn't you. Say anything. Happy birthday.
Hey, I'm a humble person.
He was stunned by the terrible singing. He didn't know what to say, but we will always give it our own college try. Seriously, Cardi, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. It's lovely to have you as
part of the team. How are you celebrating other than doing this fine program and hanging out in our big team meeting tomorrow? How else are you celebrating, Cardi?
Well, later tonight, I'll be going out to Benihana's. I've never been there before, so I love hibachi. I've just never been there before. So my wife is going to be taking me out there to go eat. And then over the weekend, I have a couple festivities I'm going to be doing. I'm just going to, have fun.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Cool. Happy birthday.
Enjoy Benihana. It is super fun. I love hibachi too. And I love Benihana. So maybe I'll see you floating around the downtown-ish area of Milwaukee, but happy birthday, Cardi.
Thanks again.
Again, it's great to have you with us. Hope you all will join us in wishing Cardi many, many happy birthday wishes when you call and join this great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Lots of business to attend to today, Tom. And I would be remiss as we celebrate Cardi's next year if we did not acknowledge and celebrate what has been the incredibly impactful and fabulous, great life making Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin better for all of us sports fans, the passing of the great Bob Uecker. Tom, what were your immediate thoughts?
Oh, first off, it was, I guess it wasn't surprising. And it took me back to his call at the end of last season, where he said, this one stings. And it, you know, it to me, it was like, you sort of knew the end was coming. But it's hard because as a lifelong Brewer fan, it's like he's been the voice of the Brewers my entire life.
Yes.
And, you know, there's been other people along the way, but to not hear that same voice again in the future is going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow more with my friend Luke Mathers, who's also a great big baseball fan. Folks, Luke and I pre-recorded the first hour of tomorrow's show, because everybody at Civic Media that does this talk network work, we're getting together to talk about our plans for 2025. So you'll hear more of my thoughts with Luke tomorrow on Mr. Uecker. But I will just say this, when those dastardly Mets... Yes. Put a nail in our dear Brewers coffin this past season, in addition to spilling some tears into some malted beverages with some of my best friends and fellow baseball fanatics, many of us remarked this may have been the last one for Mr. Yep. Uecker. So tune in tomorrow, special pre-recorded first hour with some specially selected Best of the Maggie Dawn Show for you, and a Friday edition and a special homage to Mr. Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball, as moniker bestowed by Johnny Carson many years ago, star of the hit TV show Mr. Belvedere, which Mr. I Belvedere, loved yeah. when I was a kid.
Yep.
The coiner of so many amazing sayings, including Just a Bit Outside, of course, from Major League, and get up, get out of here, which we all longed to hear when we heard a baseball game called by the irreplaceable and irrepressible Bob Uecker with an astonishing 200 batting average, career average.
Career, yes.
A mediocre player, but a Cooperstown Hall of Famer nonetheless through his great work as a broadcaster of baseball. I'm going to miss his game calls for sure.
Yeah, he will be missed. I think the Brewers themselves, the players, are really going to miss him, because he became one of them. And I think that was the best thing that's happened over the last 5-6 years, is he's been in the locker room after every great win, and it's going to be tough.
And the tough losses,
And the tough losses, yes.
Whether it was Yelich or Adames or Craig Counsell or any of the young guys on the squad, the folks associated with Brewers baseball, it was very clear that Bob Uecker was in a lot of ways part of the beating heart, if not the beating heart of that organization. Yeah. So I think there's just going to be an outpouring from all of Wisconsin's baseball fans as we celebrate his life. I mean, in addition to my father, like, Bob Uecker probably had the biggest baseball impact on my love of the game. And I mean, for crying out loud, I used to listen to Bob Uecker call games with a scorebook in the backyard. I mean,
nice.
Wow. I don't think, but for it being Bob Uecker and the special way that he called baseball games, that I would have been doing that. There was something very familiar, felt like part of the family, truly.
Yeah, he was able to fill those gaps.
Or not fill them.
Or not fill them.
He was really good at letting baseball sound like baseball.
Yep. And he just, you know, he basically made sometimes the mundane exciting. And then let the exciting parts speak for themselves. And it was, it's just amazing.
I always like to give Cubs fans a lot of grief, but when I stack Bob Uecker up against Harry Carey, one of the things that I think made Bob Uecker a better baseball broadcaster was that he did not inject fake enthusiasm in parts, right? It wasn't a put on. He was born and raised in Milwaukee. He was on the Milwaukee Braves. He genuinely got excited when all of us did too, but he didn't invent hype.
No.
He would let the sounds of the games come through. He would tell the patented self-deprecating stories, you know, about his unstoried baseball career.
He was honest when the team wasn't playing well. He was like, well, guys got to do something about that.
He was always a breath of fresh air on the airwaves. R.I.P. Bob Uecker, the entire state of Wisconsin. And for baseball fans everywhere too, it wasn't just a Milwaukee Brewers thing.
Yes.
It was for people that love baseball and loved a good baseball broadcast, they will miss Mr. Uecker as well. With that said, I wanted to begin with the ceasefire. Some breaking news just in the last hour. Many of us woke up to the news that today Israel had said they were going to take the vote to approve the ceasefire terms. Then they had pulled back, saying that Hamas had to agree to meet all of their terms first. It was kind of some of this diplomatic brinksmanship, you're right at the finish line sort of thing. Right. Just in the last hour or so, Israel stating that their cabinet leadership will be voting on the ceasefire deal tomorrow. So hopefully we will be waking up to good news that it's done. Tom, this is really historic. And I think how this came about with both administrations participating is quite, it's one note of cooperation and goodness amongst some not great confirmation hearings.
Well, and for me, it's heartening to know that these two administrations could work together on something really important and without the political theater being involved. I mean, there was still some of it from the Trump camp, but I think that the bigger picture, though, is I think the most important thing is that aid will finally be reaching Gaza.
And the hostages hopefully coming home, the last 33 hostages.
Yes. And that is, well, obviously that is the linchpin of this, but just the ability to get aid back into Gaza, because this has just been a humanitarian crisis. And that component, I think, is going to be something that the world is going to be watching. And it'll be really interesting to see how quickly the world can respond.
Yes. And you know, there is this, I'm always looking for the echoes. Like, what does that moment tell us about our own political moment here in the United States? And the thing that jumps off the page metaphorically for me is that many Palestinians did not support Hamas, right?
Yes.
Did not want them to pursue foreign policy goals through terrorism. Many Israelis, many Jewish people do not support Benjamin Netanyahu and his approach to the conflict. And that, yet there were hardliners with that. There was political fracture on both sides of that conflict.
Yes.
Right. And that regular people were getting hurt, lacking medicine, lacking clean water, a basic shelter, all these things because of the political brinksmanship engaged in by their leadership or by their self-appointed leadership. And what does that say about the responsibility, the deep moral responsibility of leaders to understand that they represent all of the people that are part of their nation, their group, if you're talking about the Palestinians? Like, it just, again, the echoes are always knocking around in my head. Tom, do you think it speaks to our moment that we're in, especially how the peace, the ceasefire agreement came about?
Yeah, well, it came about because there was a push to make sure the right things were being done on both sides. You know, but the other part is, and I think this is going to be really important as human, how are we going to protect ordinary citizens when politicians go to war? When different viewpoints about the way, you know, be it autocracy, be it democracy, be whatever it is, when they clash, how do we keep civilians from being in the line of fire? And worse, having the infrastructure completely annihilated, and suddenly you have no place to live.
And you mean both in terms like civilians and regular people becoming literal casualties of literal war, but also metaphorically casualties of the political warfare within a government, right?
Yep, exactly.
And the casualties of bad policy that purports to be for regular people, but really isn't. Folks, my guest co-host today, Tom Paulsiewicz. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. Join Tom and I in this conversation, starting off with the Israel-Hamas ceasefire, breaking news, and we're going to be moving on to President Joe Biden's farewell speech and the warning that he's giving to each and every one of you, Tom, and myself.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Poison's what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe. But she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got
both. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. And you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. This girl is on fire most days. Most days, the hair might light on fire, those sorts of things. I got a great co-host to keep the fires dampened this afternoon. His name is Tom Paulswitz. He joins me every Thursday. And ladies and gentlemen, it is also my fabulous producer, Cardi's birthday today. So if you join this great conversation, be sure that you say happy birthday to Mr. Cardi, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You know, this also not, if we've been talking about the Israel-Hamas ceasefire, it looks like it's going to get done. I listened to a bunch of interviews of experts in the region today. The consensus is this is happening. And the other thing that I think is notable, two things. Of course, the echo that it has about how regular people often pay the highest prices for both the metaphorical sort of political warfare and brinksmanship that can happen, but also obviously in actual war as well. And there's an echo. There's a warning here. We're going to get to President Biden's farewell speech and the warnings that he gave to each and every one of us as Americans. But the other echo, Tom, of course, was the end of President Carter's administration, right? And the fact that Reagan actually obstructed Carter's efforts to bring home the hostages that Iran had taken. I don't think this gets done without Joe Biden. I also think this doesn't get done without Donald Trump, if I'm being completely
correct.
Candid. It needed
Definitely.
Both of them to get this done.
Yep.
And it needed the pressure point.
Yes.
Of this transfer of power. So the echo to that moment in the Carter-Reagan transition certainly stands out to me as well.
Which I think is important to understand that why we need both parties and why we need collaboration, because not one idea or not one way definitely works in all cases. So by combining the two, but also showing a united front,
yes,
is important for the rest of the world. And I think we've talked about this. I saw Joe Biden speak in I want to say it was 2018. And he really talked about how important it was to have those relationships across the globe in order to be able to back channel and be able to create these kinds of solutions to what seemed to be intractable problems. And that's one of my concerns about going into the next 4 years is, do the people that are coming into office have these? And if they don't, how are they going to get them as quickly as possible?
Because on the international stage, your credibility as either a representative of the leader of your country, your substantive expertise, like career diplomats, people that do this, like yes. They know when they're dealing with somebody who doesn't have mastery of the information. And I guess one of the things that remains sort of heavy on my heart as we observe this moment isn't just, hey, are these people going to be able to bring the gravitas? But that, again, the thing that made this possible was the acknowledgement that there is an outcome that we can all stand behind, right? Yes. That there was an agreement about the outcome, bring the hostages home, stop the conflict, get aid to Gaza. That helped bring about the cooperation necessary to create the sort of pressure to help bring about a greater level of peace and human exactly. dignity, hopefully, yes. right? And that here we sit in this moment, Mike Johnson yesterday just removing Mike Turner as chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Yes. Mike Turner, the guy who called out his Republican colleagues on that committee for trotting out Republican talking points on Ukraine, who has stood staunchly behind the support of Ukraine. And the fact that just a day before Donald Trump spouting off in Mar-a-Lago that he emotionally could understand why Russia would invade Ukraine. Yes. That's hogwash, right? Like that's authoritarianism and an authoritarian trying to take over a democratic country.
Right. But I also think it's really important to understand that Donald Trump is transactional. He's not about yeah. relations. So yeah. when and Joe Biden's all about relationships, right? He's like, let's use the relationship to figure out how to get to the solution, where Donald Trump is, let's figure out what transaction can allow us to get to the solution. The problem with transactions is, you know, it's a compromise and both sides lose instead of doing the hard work to get to the point where everyone has a chance to win. And yes. I think that is going to be something that at least I'm going to be watching over the next year or so to see how many transactions happen where it looks easy and, you know, it really is suboptimal. And it would have been much better off to take a little bit more time and craft a much better solution.
Well, and the transaction of Mike Johnson removing Mike yeah. Turner as chair of the House Intelligence Committee, that, you know, this loyalty and power and access and influence is going to be transacted by Donald Trump, and you're either like in the circle or you're in or out.
Right.
Right. And that to me, especially when we turn the lens from our internal US policy debates and disputes, and we start looking outwardly from a foreign policy and, yes. and global peace and the project of human dignity, that perspective, man, it is simply not a reasonable argument to say that Russia has some sort of legitimate purpose in invading Ukraine. Like that's right. nonsense, right?
Yes.
So much. This is my brain always lights up when all these things are happening. And there's all these connections both to our history and our present and our future.
Yes.
Which we're all brought to mind by the announcement of this ceasefire. But Tom, I know that you wanted to, I want to, and our friend Steve from Milwaukee wants to move on to Biden's farewell speech. But I did want to give one of our longtime callers a crack at this topic before we got to take care of some business. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you wanted to say what about the ceasefire?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it has been transactional all along. I mean, that it's just shameful what happened in the first place on October 7th, you know, when they attacked. But I mean, Donald Trump was probably interfering with this, you know, months and months ago, because concerning his relations with BB, and it's just how many people have died because we couldn't reach an agreement earlier. It is just sad because it's going to be transaction on top of transaction. I think the Republican Party itself is just needs to completely change itself because everything is a cash transaction these days.
Well, and to gird itself against the Russian misinformation machine, to not confuse American interests or their partisan interests, those aren't the same things, right? And our American interest is to oppose Vladimir Putin. I am again going to give Donald Trump credit in part for the ceasefire. We got to take care of some business. We'll be right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Recently, if you've been paying attention to the markets, you may have noticed that soybean prices saw a jump. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and joining me is John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, and he's explaining why we saw this increase in price.
So that was one of the big things hit in the bean oil industry, was the fact that they were bringing this used cooking oil in as an import. Now, that wouldn't be able to be have the tax credit for it, so soybean oil prices exploded, picking up almost $6 per hundredweight in the last 3, 4, 5 days. And that was one of the reasons we saw the big jump in soybean prices, is the fact that here's one of the products going to have had good value added to it, and the people who crush beans to make oil, you know, obviously see the value there, therefore raising the price of soybeans as well.
Heinberg says that this was a welcome change to the market prices compared to what was seen at the end of 2024. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
How do you stay at the top of an industry for more than 117 years? By always improving what you offer while never changing who you are. For another year running, Dairyland Seed is raising the bar for performance with our best ever line of corn, soybean, and silage products designed specifically for success in the upper Midwest. And yet again, we're delivering those products with the same dedicated support and access to the right people with the right information as we always have. Seed performance that's never been seen before, delivered the way it always used to be. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Learn more at DairylandSeed.com.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The USDA wants to remind producers that enrollment for safety net programs for ARC and PLC start on January 21st and for DMC start on January 29th. Grassworks wants to remind everyone that registration is still open for their 33rd annual grazing conference. This conference will take place from January 23rd through 25th at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Also, Pierce County Meats out of Ellsworth, Wisconsin has issued a voluntary Class 2 recall for packaged ready-to-eat meat products. This comes after it was found that wheat was in some products and it was not on the label. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and mild today, with high temperatures flirting with the freezing mark in the low 30s. But we're battling breezy winds out of the northwest, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. And they'll switch to out of the south tonight, warming us up even more for tomorrow. Highs will be in the mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 35.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir. Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I can't stand the rain against my window. Bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, when the rain.
What will be the memory of Joe Biden? His farewell address yesterday, I think, does leave us some crumbs and a little bit of a wonder. What if he was this clear all the time? Right? Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. I've got the conversation started with my fabulous guest co-host. He's with me every Thursday. His name's Tom Paulswitz, a two-time congressional candidate and an all-around reasonable guy with whom I don't always agree, which is that when we have those little differences, I enjoy that, Tom. I think it brings some zip to our miracle whip of this show. Let's start. I thought overall takes on Biden's farewell speech. Mm-hmm. Where was this guy? Like, where was the clarity about the threats? And I know he got there towards the end of Harris's campaign, but the use of the word oligarchy, for example, was just some additional. It just seemed clearer to me about where our choices may lead us, where our choices have led us. Folks, you want to join this conversation about Biden's farewell address, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Did it resonate for you? Do you think it will be sort of the bookend on his legacy? Tom, what were your immediate reactions?
Well, I think he said a lot of the right things, but, you know, part of what he was able to do was use 2020 hindsight. You know, he was mm-hmm. now able to take a step back and look at it and say, all right, here's not only what happened, but here's what happened since the election. I mean, I've been racking my brain. I don't think Trump ever mentioned Greenland and Panama.
Yeah, missed that.
Anytime during the, you know, it's almost like Scott Walker not even mentioning the fact that he's going to institute Act 10 and then deciding to do it right after the election, right? It's like, okay, if you really thought that was important, maybe that was a good thing to bring to the public before you decided to talk about it.
Right.
So, and then as far as the oligarchy goes, I think, you know, it's become much more clear. And to me, this is one of the things that I think is the most dangerous thing happening right now is Trump has sent word through him and his minions that unless you bring a check, sort of like the mob, unless you bring a check, we're not going to be as open to whatever it is you want to talk about, including when I institute tariffs, carving out whatever your industry or whatever your business is. So, and those things are much more clear today than they were even in November and back in August.
Total agreement. What your description is conjuring up for me, like the Donald Trump 47th presidential inauguration, having some weird meme like take that's like the movie Godfather. You come to me on the day of my granddaughter. Where is my envelope of money? Oh, wait, Zuckerberg's already given the envelope. He's throwing him a black tie party. You've got like 4 or 5 billionaires that's basically going to be in the family section.
Right. Yes! There's a satin sack that J.D. Vance is holding.
put your
and everybody's putting
in there,
their little envelope, right? And they're kissing his ring and going, hey, remember me.
I need this favor now.
Right.
Yes. I mean, seriously, like someone out there in the blogosphere who's good at meme making, you can use my idea. Just give me a little credit, a little drop of foot at Maggie Dawn Show. Yeah, it's
so there's more clarity there, you know, but when I think of Joe Biden, you know, and I can't help but think of Jimmy Carter at the same time because their careers were so in sync. But, you know, starting off elected to Congress at 28, you know, and now having been president for 4 years, he's been part of the fabric of Washington, D.C. when it comes to Democrats for a long, long time. And, you know, and I am still, I think if we could somehow keep him as foreign minister, I think that would benefit all of us. But I know that's not going to happen, or it's not even, you know, But if he could still back channel and use his relationships that he's built over the years, you know, I love that you say, where's this guy been? You know, and I think at the age of 82, you have moments of clarity and sometimes you have some trouble. And, yeah, you know, he had a great moment of clarity last night where he was able to actually articulate, and he wasn't, you know, part of his stutter, you know, it makes him seem like he's searching or looking when it has nothing to do with the way his brain works. It has everything to do with the connection between his brain and his ability to say what he needs to say. So I think that element came through in his speech. But I think overall, though, you know, I think we're going to look back and go, thank goodness for Joe Biden. Because he was part of the country at some critical points. He moved forward gay marriage, right? I mean, it was stuck until Joe Biden opened his mouth and said, no, we got to do something about this and we should start now.
I think that historically, overall, his presidency will get favorable marks.
Yes.
I do think there were some stumbles along the way. But let's listen to a little bit of what our outgoing president had to say last night in his farewell address. And let's start with that warning about an American oligarchy. Cardi?
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead.
And that's what we're seeing. What I heard reporting again in the hour before I got on the show, that now Donald Trump is agitating for Vivek Ramaswamy to take J.D. Vance's Senate seat because Donald Trump wants someone with an official platform that's part of this kind of Doge movement. And it's like, you know what we need less of in our government? Billionaires. Like, yes. What new value is Vivek Ramaswamy going to bring to the Senate? Like, there's enough really, really, really rich people in the Senate. Just ask Ron Johnson.
Well, this is, you know, part of it is an oligarchy, but the other part of it is these people know each other, right? Yeah. And they all think smart, and they all think they have the right solutions. You know, this is the opposite of DEI. This is promoting people who you know and you think they're smart, but don't have any qualifications to be able to actually do the job that you want them to do.
And it's like, go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
But it's fascinating to me. Like, you can be so against DEI, but it's okay to take a guy like Pete
you right. know. Quit saying the word meritocracy. It doesn't look good on you, Pete.
Right. It doesn't. But the flip side of that is, it's like, you know, the whole point of DEI was to say, let's get people in front or out there that we normally wouldn't look at because they're smart. They have a different perspective. They'll bring something different to the table. Instead, we're going to get the same stuff over and over again. I'm a billionaire. I must be smart. And therefore, I must be able to solve these intractable solutions that unfortunately require a bit of empathy, which I clearly lack.
I have none. No,
I have none.
No. I wouldn't ever think that, like, I'm the beneficiary of an unmeritocratic system of promoting underqualified, you know, personally loyal white people into jobs that they have no business doing. That couldn't possibly be the case.
Never. Right.
Let's take a little bit more of President Biden's farewell address last night. Pivoting from the oligarchy to the tech industrial complex. Let's take a listen.
Potential rise of a tech industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power.
And it's that last part that's so critical, right? And this is what, you know, first of all, I don't actually think when Mark Zuckerberg says, oh, this is all about returning to our free speech roots. No, it's about you trying to meet chicks in college. So you created a thing called Facebook. Like, that's what
you stole the thing called Facebook.
Yeah, from two other guys.
Yes.
But it's also, even in its current iteration, it's not about free speech. We actually give away our right to privacy and to protect the data footprint that we create when we are on these platforms. They monetize and sell that. That's not free speech.
Right. If you're on the platform, you're helping to make them money.
Correct. I will also point out
there's a new term that they're using, free expression. and one of the things I wanted to ask you, Maggie, being an attorney, is are they using the phrase free expression because free speech has some legal parameters around it?
Yeah,
because
might be that. But like, even, you know, like, so, yeah, we have to give away our privacy rights and the rights to basically control and own our own data footprint, which we're creating, which is what they monetize. It's also not free because it's manipulated. Like, yes. we're so far from the literal soapbox, right? The expression "get off your soapbox" was because people would use the box that soap was transported and flip it upside down, stand in the park square and pontificate what their views were.
Yes.
Right. This isn't that. That is, well, let me manipulate which town square speaker you hear to sell you stuff. Like, what part of that is free expression?
To get you to engage, and the more that you engage, the more that you can sell. Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, I've been wrestling with this. You know, I have a Facebook account.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go back and forth. I deleted my Instagram because, one, I don't use it that much anyways. I got out of Twitter at least like a year and a half ago because I knew it was becoming a cesspool. I just signed up for Blue Sky. I don't use it that much yet, but I'm in it. But here's the thing. I found out today that a friend of mine who I've known for a while in DC fell and hit his head and is now in the hospital. And I wouldn't have known that unless I was on Facebook.
Right.
And so the power, the ability to connect and the ability to bring people together that I think is the best part of Facebook. Is there a way to capture that and then not get into
all the nonsense,
right? Into the gutter of manipulating us and bringing us into disinformation and all that. And it, you know, I'm calling out to see if there are any actually moral billionaires out there who want to actually create a platform that we can use for the good of society.
And you know, please don't call and tell me Warren Buffett, because his 50% rule isn't really the thing, because he hasn't given away any of it. Right.
Right. And Warren's not going to build anything anyways. But to me, the biggest part of this is how do we stay connected in a way that uses these tools of the times that we live in without it dragging us down to the lowest common denominator? I think that's the biggest struggle that as a society we have when it comes to how do we take these things and use them for good. You know, I'm in the rare position to be able to go find news. I read a whole bunch of stuff from a whole bunch of different places and then critically think about what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. But I have a lot of time to do that. Most people don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have a couple of different news feeds and you tend to believe whatever's in front of you, that's how we got into this situation in the first place.
The next one of the other remarkable warnings from Joe Biden in his farewell address was on climate. Let's take a listen.
The powerful forces want to wield their unchecked influence to eliminate the steps we've taken to tackle the climate crisis, to serve their own interest for power and profit. We must not be bullied into sacrificing the future of our children and our grandchildren. We must keep pushing forward. Push faster.
Again, this weird echo with President Carter and all of what he did on environmental issues. It's just, I feel like every day, Tom, I'm stumbling over a bit of our past that tells me about our present, that tells me some warnings about our future. And of course, coinciding with this rise of an oligarchy, which I've said, you know, that is incompatible with our capitalistic democracy, but an oligarchy at least is a system. And the thing that worries me most is that we seem to be drifting even away from a system of governance and into transactional access, and that it, you know, it's just a system. There's all kinds of treats and desserts on the tableau, and they're just going to be meted out to the most powerful and wealthy among us with no concern for those very futures that Joe Biden just invoked.
Right. And these industries, you know, as they're giving a donation to the inauguration, are saying, these are the regulations I would like to see disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And it, how that cannot be trading financial, you know, financial gain for political power is beyond me. But I think the bigger issue here is we do not price the cost of climate or a whole bunch of things into the economy. Yeah. And the way we've done that is through regulations to make sure businesses follow the rules. And by stripping that away, they will be able to make even more money and cause more harm.
And we're going to come back to that idea, because as an economist, I actually studied this idea of negative environmental externalities in regression analysis. So, of course, I got to bring some wonk and some nerdy. Keep it locked. We're going to pick right back up there. Why the billionaire class is stealing your children's future with Tom Paulswitz. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota Federal Appeals Court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA Nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson versus Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
After all you put me through, you think I despise you. But in the end, I want to thank you, because you made me that much stronger.
When I...
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this Thursday by my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz. We've been talking about Joe Biden's farewell address to the nation given yesterday evening. We've been talking about Joe Biden's warnings about the oligarchs, the tech industrial complex, the information swamp, as well as climate. It bears repeating, of course, that Donald Trump got in front of a bunch of oil industry CEOs and said, give me $1 billion so I can win the presidency and I'll deregulate your industry. Yes. And the reason that I bring this up is that one of our texters who participates, and I always want to hear from him, Kevin from Iguanago, texted in and said, hey, speaking of oligarchs, what do you think of Joe Biden giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom to George Soros, a billionaire? And my response to that is, it's not good. It's despicable, in fact. I hate awarding people for being of this massive level of wealth. But that's only the first question. That's the first order question. By the way, Donald Trump gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Miriam Adelson, also a billionaire donor, right? Okay. So then the question has to be, well, it's not the rubric or the test isn't which billionaire doesn't give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to. It's which president then wipes away regulations and acts a tax system and tax policy and legislation and supports things that deregulate the industries of those billionaire donors. Which president enacts policies that help the middle class versus help the billionaires more? That's the actual question.
Yes, which president is about transactions and not relationships? Because if you look at it, once again, it falls into that same bucket. It's like, all right, if I do something for you, my expectation is you owe me.
Yeah.
And I'll trade away anything for your support. Because it's not mine. You know, because I don't know if you've been reading about, I mean, the Western states are talking about, you know, potentially getting rid of the Bureau of Land Management and somehow ceding all this land to the people who want it and not necessarily even having them pay for it. And you look at that.
Just give it away, Tom.
Right. Those are our assets, you know, and Maggie, you and I think we've talked about this a long time ago, but, you know, the United States has a balance sheet. Sure, we have debt, but how much do we own?
Right.
And if you start giving away what we own and not paying down the debt, is that prudent fiscal management? Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. The math doesn't math.
Right.
And then Joe Biden ended it sort of towards the tail end of his address, addressed these questions of what does our Constitution mean? What do we want our system of laws and our democracy to stand for? Let's take the first bit of that cut. Cardi, this is cut A4, please.
After 50 years at the center of all of this, I know that believing in the idea of America means respecting the institutions that govern a free society. The presidency, the Congress, the courts, a free and independent press. Institutions that are rooted, they might not reflect the timeless words, but they echo the words of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Rooted in the timeless words of the Constitution, we the people. Our system of separation of powers, checks and balances, it may not be perfect, but it's maintained our democracy for nearly 250 years, longer than any other nation in history that's ever tried such a bold experiment.
And let's just take reminding us of where we've come from, what this country stands for. And then, Cardi, if we can take the last three cuts, just one right after the other, because he really winds up to the punchline here.
Well, they're in the Congress. We need to amend the Constitution to make clear that no president is immune from crimes that he or she commits while in office. It will take time to feel the full impact of all we've done together. But the seeds are planted, and they'll grow and they'll bloom for decades to come. Must endure. Now it's your turn to stand guard. May you all be the keeper of the flame. May you keep the faith. I love America. You love it too. God bless you all. May God protect our troops. Thank you for this great honor.
Steeped in humility and collective purpose, as well as our collective responsibilities to achieve our highest ideals as Americans. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. Let's go to the phones. Keith from Broadhead, what do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Maggie, he makes me so proud. Just his demeanor, he is such a class act. I wanted to go back to this real quick because you were talking about whether we had a billionaire who would be able to be generous enough to develop a platform like Facebook or something like that altruistically. I don't think that can ever happen. I think as human beings, we will always take something that is good and turn it into something that is not. Unfortunately, I believe humans will always end up somehow coming around to what's in it for me. And it's just the nature of what we are as human beings.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely every time. As I've often said on this show, once you're a billionaire, you're neither a Democrat nor a Republican, a conservative or a liberal. You're a billionaire. What you seek is more money, more billions, and more power. That's what you buy with billions because you got all the rest. fact, I got my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz. We're going to dive into those pesky confirmation hearings. What the heck is going on? And what does it tell you and your family about the next 4 years? Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We have a very big, important meeting. So coming up on the show, a specially curated edition of Matinair on Air. We'll be back with you live on Monday. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There's growing optimism ahead of tomorrow's vote by Israel's cabinet on the ceasefire deal with Hamas. Rabbi David Septimus is with Shalom Austin in Texas.
We're filled with hope, cautiously, that we're getting closer to hostages being freed, returned to their families.
California Attorney General Rob Bonta is promising to crack down on price gouging by hotels and rental properties as wildfire victims look for places to stay.
You can't exploit victims and break the law for the sake of turning a profit and get away with it. There will be consequences.
Some evacuation orders have been lifted. President Biden is speaking at his Defense Department Commander-in-Chief farewell ceremony. He thanked those in the audience for helping to save Ukraine.
And above all, he showed the world America stands up for freedom, stands with our friends. America stands strong with our allies.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Community Stories.